He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and in His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a protector. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look along with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, for you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent, for He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. Vicky, in all your ways. Amen. They will bear you up in their hands, that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. The young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because he had loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because he has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and let him see my salvation. That is the word of the Lord. That is His promise to us. And He reconfirmed it today during worship. And His presence is so thick here right now. Trust Him, He says. Trust Him. I know this time that we're in, it can be very confusing. One moment we hear this, the next moment we hear another thing. But one thing that never changes is God. God is the same, and He's saying right there, hey, don't matter what comes your way. Don't matter if you're standing there and you see 1,000 people drop. Over here, 10,000. Hey, no harm will come upon you, is God promised to His people. Isn't that awesome? May I take away the fear of today. May I take away the fear of tomorrow, knowing that our God has His hand upon His people. My, my. That is awesome. It truly is. It says here, we spoke earlier, He has His angels assigned around you. Think of that. Watching over you. Watching over you, Vicky. Amen. And there are ministering angels there to help, to assist. You know. And I just praised God earlier today. Him and I, God and I was talking, and He brought a verse to me. He said, oh, here, Stark, you can share this today. And I couldn't write it down. I was driving. And I try not to write and drive at the same time. Even though I do record my microphone once in a while. And I lost a verse. I couldn't remember what it was. But then during praise and worship, God brought it back to me. Isn't that awesome how the Holy Spirit does that, you know? No evil will befall you in verse 10, and nor will any plague come near your tent. Wow. So He's not just talking about you personally, but also where you live, your house. You know? But the very first verse of Psalms 91 says that He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. So those who believe, those who follow, those who stay in covenant with me, that's His promise He has with us. Okay? To us. It's not as promised to the whole world because the whole world don't abide with them, you know. Some people don't acknowledge God. They had nothing to do with Jesus, okay? But this is covenant with us, and what an awesome covenant it is, you know. And so here we are in these times that we're in. I'm just going to have a kind of like a fireside chat this morning. Is that okay? Without the fire, you know, it's kind of warm. Well, I'll tell you what. I want to address that for a second. I mean, guys, you see what worship did this morning? I mean, it's not singing songs. You guys are pouring your heart out to the Lord. These were your statements of God, His presence. And He shows up. Man, He says, okay, listen. As the word came from Ryan, that God used Ryan there, that, okay, you're going to have a new normal. There's going to be a good normal. You know? Things are different, but they're for the better. Okay? And so as things in your life, man, it's not quite the same. Best way I can put it is this way, maybe. In the fall of the year, I don't know why, but man, if we're done praise and worship, I go home. I love sitting in front of my TV and watching the Cleveland Browns. And you know, but I'm saying that I find comfort in that. You know, oh, I kind of relax. You know, and back. Okay, but or maybe Cleveland Indians. Well, we have a new norm. We don't do that now. We can't do that now. But it's a good new normal. You know what I'm saying? We're finding ourselves more of God. We're finding ourselves listening more to Him. That those voices have been very loud in our head at times, taken away from our time of God. We're not paying attention to them, and we're listening to God more. So we have a good new normal, and may it continue that way. Amen? May I just... And that's what He's saying. But as my heart is, like I showed you earlier today, how the church is set up. If we can, if you turn to Mark, if you have your Bibles, if you want to go to the last chapter in the book of Mark. What's that, Carol? Right before Luke. I'm sorry. A lot of times you can find different Bible verses quicker. 16th chapter of Mark. I should say everybody turn to the 17th chapter and say amen when you get there. But we want to look at, this is Jesus. I mean, the presence of our God today, and He spoke with us, and He comforted us, strengthened us. And God gave us a commission, each believer here. And it's documented by Brother Mark in the 16th chapter. And we're going to look at verse 14 where I'll go forward from. It says, afterward, He appeared, meaning Jesus, to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table. And He reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen Him after He had risen. They questioned it. What He was doing is chastising them. So He said to them, hey, listen, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. These signs will accompany those who have believed. In my name they shall cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. And that's awesome. I mean, that's His commission to us. And He says, I go with you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. He says, greater things I've done that we will do also. Isn't that awesome? I mean, that's His commission to the church. And I'm so excited because in the days that we are in, And as the church, the body of Christ, draws closer and closer to him, these things will be on a magnitude unbelievable, except for those who believe. Amen? And so here we are today where we have the, I keep forgetting the name of it, I keep it, not community distancing, what do we call it? Social distancing, okay? And giving out on some of the best medical advice they can give. And as a body of Christ, we have stepped back for a few weeks to do as they wanted to do, have this curve to adjust, you know, that it would no longer be running rampant, that it start going downhill. And praise God, it hasn't just curved. I mean, praise God that this thing, this virus, is being scorched by the hand of God. But we look at our commission that we have, and well, folks, that's our commission. Because that's why today when you came in, you saw the church sat up the way it was. Still using community, what do you call it? Social, and using, you know, being cautious, you know, that because there is a virus out there, but being cautious of it, you know. But as we go on, we have 28 people here now. Because, guys, I'm not being defiant to our government, amen? I understand that, guys. And if we was talking earlier, our government doesn't have a control at all on the churches, okay? They can't shut us down. They can't tell us to do anything. But that doesn't mean that we should be defiant just because that we can be defiant, right? Remember, I go back to the scripture says, you know, all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial, okay? And so our hearts as Christians, our hearts as believers in Jesus, our hearts who believe that the Master is coming back, is to share the gospel the best that we can. And that's through here. And the scripture there, it says, they will pick up serpents, pick up snakes. Now, Vicky, the other day, yesterday it was, did you have a desire to reach down and grab that snake? You had no desire to pick it up, say, come here. No, you killed it, right? You felt bad for killing it. Okay. I understand that. Well, you know, let me put it this way. That's good that you felt bad, even though you had to do what you had to do because of your heart. Okay? It's the same way when we see justice done to those who commit crime, we should be glad that either they've been neutralized, but not rejoice because they're being punished. Okay, our hearts should be glad. Just pray during this time of isolation, if we call, or imprisonment, that their eyes be open and they'll see Jesus. And the thing that's bad, it would turn around to good. That's where he wants our hearts to be at. Okay? So it's a good thing that, you know, he did. But you got to do what you got to do, you know? Amen. So if you turn to in the book of Acts for a second, if you want to, you can follow me. I'll read it to you. Or you can digitally go. But chapter 28. So this was spoken, and we just read to you what Mark had documented, what Jesus has said, that if you pick up snakes, man, they're not going to harm you, okay? So in chapter 28 of the book of Acts, we're going to find where Brother Paul is on a ship, okay? He's going to go to Rome. He wants to stand in front. He's been illegally charged with a crime. He's going to go to Rome. He wants to go. He's there a prisoner. And verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1, when they had been brought safely through, then we found out that the island was called Malta. The natives showed extraordinary kindness, for because of the rain that had set in, because of the cold, they kindled a fire and received us all. So here we go. They were on a ship. They left. They shouldn't have went that time of the year. They did. They got into a lot of bad weather. God used Paul to comfort his captors and say, listen, it's all right. Not one guy is going to die. And they all floated ashore onto this island of Malta. Okay? It was cold and it was chilly. And Paul, looking out there, he's seen this rattlesnake take across the land. He said, I'm going to show these guys a thing or two. My Bible says that it won't. I can pick up a serpent and it ain't going to hurt me. So Paul chased this rattlesnake clear around the island until he caught this thing. He picked it up and said, look at me. He didn't, did he, guys? He didn't. He says, Paul gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on a fire. And while he was serving others, while he was doing the work of the Lord, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened itself on his hand. And when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they began saying to one another, undoubtedly this man is a murderer, and though he has been saved from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. Otherwise, they say, hey, escape one death, but he's going to die now. Okay? However, he shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. And the scripture goes on, when they see that, they want to make Paul a god now. You know what I'm saying? But the point of it is, Paul was just doing what God called him to do. Okay? Paul was serving the Lord. And while serving the Lord, he got bit by a snake, shook it off, and kept on going. And today, I believe that as God addresses his church, is that our hearts have to be the same as Paul. And that is, we do as Christ called us, but we do it with a humble heart because that's what we do. And we'll go back to Psalms 91 here in a moment, just a little while here. But to be defiant, say, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to that building. I'm going to worship God. Nobody's going to tell me I can't do that. You've got the wrong spirit. You've got the wrong heart. Amen? I mean, I just want to check yourself. I'm just saying if that's your part. Now, we can have the Christian side and the patriot side go back and forth, okay? Now, we have the right to gather here by the Constitution of the United States of America, right? That's been defended by our veterans, okay? This whole country was founded for freedom of worship. Amen? We have a freedom religion. Okay? And all we're going to do is exercise that freedom. But we don't do that. We don't come in here to worship God just to say, hey, we can do it. We come because we want to, right? Because we desire God and worship Him. We love our country. We love we love everybody. The love of God is in us, and our hearts the same way, that no one will perish. And so, as I look at these things, I think, okay, the world needs God more today than ever before. I truly believe that. They need. God hasn't changed. Now look at Brother Paul. I mean, look at one act that took place. He's just sharing, just hanging out with God, doing what God called him to do. And look how many people he drew by God working through him. You know, he didn't do it out of defiant. I mean, the last thing Paul wanted to do, even though Jesus said, hey, you get bit by a snake, don't worry about it. The last thing he wanted to do is get bit by a snake. Right? Amen? I mean, he says, even if you drink something poisonous. Now, who wants to pass poison around today, drink poison, huh? No, wouldn't that be stupid? It would. But you're saying, as we serve him, if the enemy tries to take you out, I got your back. But if I get ready to drink something right now but Bob says, hey, that's poison. Oh, I'm not going to worry about it. I had to drink it anyway. See what I'm saying? It goes back to our heart. Okay, as we serve God, He's got us protected. As we stay under Him, He's watching out for us. And so it's a humble heart that he deals with. Amen? You know, I pray each one today came in today. I mean, I hear from all you guys all the time and say, man, can we come today? Can we come together in fellowship and stuff? Because you want to be, okay? Understand why we stepped aside for a while, let this thing the curve, but it's time to step out. How can we need to be able to reach out to the community? Because people need God and they need to be able to come in. But I say that to say this to you also. We all have a comfortable level. And if you are more comfortable at safe distancing, social distancing, if you prefer the 6 feet apart and the mask, I understand that, okay? And I ask that, if you do, just let me know this week, because if a lot of folks still want the 6 foot, you know, I can put on a third service. We can gather on Saturday, and I'll do whatever I can to make sure we pour the Word of God into you, okay? And because as our faith grows, man, what God can do grows also with us, you know? Start off little and go forward, but He said, these are the signs of those who believe, and that's what we can do. And you say, well, I can never lay my hands on the sick. I mean, I can't bring the dead back to life. Has He asked you to do that yet? I don't know. Maybe you could answer that. But, you know, just believe and let God work with you and work through you. But we have to determine ourselves. If you want to turn to Joshua 24 for a moment. Well, somehow I lost Joshua 24. Have a bookmarker, you lose your bookmarker. That's it there. Okay, we'll find it. That's what happens when you used to use an electronic Bible when you go back to your hard copy Bible. Be 15 right there. I got it right here. Just get my fingers through it. Joshua 24, verse 15. I got it marked down here. I start with verse 14. This is Joshua speaking, and he says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a declaration that Joshua made. I can't control. You do what you want to do. But for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. And that's a declaration that each one of us makes. You know? And then as we make that declaration, then we trust in the Lord. Amen. To trust in Him. Say, in my household, God has been established as in charge of this place, and we're going to serve Him and honor Him because we want to. And the things of the Lord, when He says, do this or don't do that, we take it as great guidance and not as taking away our liberties that we have as Americans. Amen? Amen? And just make that establishment, because that all ties in with this proclamation in Psalms 91. Because again, the first part of Psalms 91 says, if we stay under, you know, if we allow Him to guide us. We saw in Daniel, in the 6th chapter of Daniel, verse 10, it talks about where Daniel would worship God 3 times a day. He would go up to his room and he'd look out the window and bow down towards Jerusalem and he would just pray. Wasn't causing any problem to nobody else. You know, he wasn't screaming out the window. He wasn't condemning people for not praying when he did. He just worshiped his God. And see, Daniel was in charge of a few people, and Daniel, of course, he was out of that land, and some people objected to him that he had a foreigner in charge of him. And so they're trying to figure out how to get back at Daniel. So they talked the king into passing a law that's saying you cannot pray, you can't worship. Wow. So you know what Daniel did? He continued to worship. He didn't do it. He didn't say, hey, king, look at me. I defy you. No. He just continued to worship God. And next thing you know, he got arrested for worshiping God. And he was thrown into the lion's den to be dead. Now, the king didn't really like doing that, but he had to do it because he already passed the law. So put Daniel in the lion's den, just for worshiping God. And what happened? God closed the mouths of the lion. That which was designed to devour him lost her appetite. God took away that death sentence. And the next thing you know, the enemies that put him in there, they were thrown into the lion's den. But again, Daniel didn't do it in defiance. I don't read in scripture where he shook his fist at the king. He just said, no, I worship God. He's my God. I'm not going to stop. No matter what happens, I'm going to worship Him. And so again, when we declare that if for me and my house we shall worship the Lord, we do that. We don't do our defiant towards anybody. It should be our heart is, hey, I just love Jesus, and I'm going to worship Him, and I'm going to share Him and as well as I can, and not be, don't do it with a hard heart, I guess, how God wants me to share that. It is the main thing there. And then Acts chapter 4. Verse 18. I'm actually going to start with verse 13, and I'll catch up with you, or you'll catch up with me. But Acts 4:13. Now they observed the confidence of Peter and John, and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in reply. But when they had ordered him to leave the council, they began to confer with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem. And we cannot deny it. But so they would not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no longer in any name, any man in his name. And when they had summoned them, they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter, And John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather to God, you be the judge. But we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. So there they are. They're trying to get them to quit talking about Jesus, quit honoring Jesus. And right in front of them is the miracle that took place because of Jesus. Okay? And they were offended by that. How can you tell somebody that Jesus doesn't live, that Jesus isn't a healer, if a person is standing there that's been healed? So they become really offended toward him and try to shut him up. And folks, in these days that we are allowed to live in, God already predained us to be here. And as the church goes forth, we will see the same thing taking place through the hands of his followers. I truly believe that as we witnessed this morning, the presence of God is going to grow more and more in his people, because his people wants more and more of him to grow in them. And you'll see from your hands, from your mouth, in the name of Yeshua, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will see these signs and wonders and miracles taking place that God works through you. And I believe that as we do this, and as we lay hands on the sick and they recover, not everybody's going to rejoice. Now, isn't it sad? In the scriptures here, a man was healed. You think everybody would want to rejoice. Wow, I don't know how it happened. Man, this Jesus thing is real. No, people got offended. They were losing power. They were losing control. Amen? They were losing the fear factor. And they didn't want to do that. So they said, listen, you can't talk about Jesus no more. But they didn't shut up. They said, listen, you know, whether it's right in your eyes to obey God or not, you decide. But for me, I'm going to speak about God. I'm going to share about Jesus. And that's his commission to us. You know, go into the world and spread the gospel. And then your world doesn't mean you have to travel overseas. Right here, this is your world. As you live your life, you're sharing the gospel. And the way you live each day, you're sharing that gospel. But I'm telling you, don't be afraid as the Holy Spirit comes upon you and say, okay, I want you to say this, I want you to do this, I want you to pray this. Remember that you have been set aside by Jesus Christ. You have been brought into the army of the Lord by the blood of Jesus. And he is with you. And as our brothers and sisters did in their days, and look how ugly it was for them, so be it, God will be with us in the same way. He'll never forsake you. He won't leave you. The Master has already told us up front, if they hated him, they're eventually going to hate us. As he's done miracles and healed folks, a lot of folks rejoiced, but not everybody did. But it showed them that there is a God, a true living God. His name is Yahweh. Amen? And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, many, many signs will be taking place. And so, if people can be kept away from the messengers, if people can be convinced that God is not God, that God is not powerful, that God is not a healer, that God is not strength, that God isn't a God who can forgive sins, if people can be kept away from the truth, they're going to stay in darkness. And in darkness, people perish. So I just want you to be encouraged with the Word of God. And as if anybody ever have a bulletin here today, did you pick a bulletin up? Anybody got one? On the back side of the bulletin is a decoration of Psalms 91. Pastor Carroll's taken it and took it into more understandable English. And so I'm going to have you read that, Carol. And what I'd like for you to do, if you want to, again, based upon that, I've decided to follow Jesus, that for me and my household, we shall serve the Lord. Whether or not it would be good in your sight to obey God and speak to Him or not, that's fine. But for me, I shall declare that. But this is this is your statement. This is your confession. Psalms 91. And first, like yesterday, I'm in here preparing the church. I speak this out here upon this house of God, knowing that no plague shall come in or upon this place. I declare this also upon my children, because they are part of my household. These are very powerful words. This is, you're speaking it out. Say, man, I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. You're speaking it out. And when you go home, and in the morning you get up, my wife and I, we speak this out about every morning. And we declare over our children, our ministry. And God says, trust me. Trust me. Not defiantly against the world. Just trust in me, God. Hey, I love you, God. I trust you. I believe in you. I know your word is true. I'm going to speak this out, and I'm going to walk in the victory that you brought to me through that cross of Jesus Christ. So feel free to speak this out loud. And Carol, you want to read that to us?
So, these are 30 confessions from Psalm 91. I dwell in the secret place of the Most High. I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. In you I will trust. You deliver me. You deliver me from the traps set by my enemy. You deliver me from disease and sickness. You cover me with your feathers. Under his wings I do find refuge. His truth is my shield and buckler, my defense. I will not be afraid of anything that could happen day or night. Even when I see things happening around me and close to me, it doesn't touch me. I see what is happening to the wicked, but it doesn't affect me. I have made the Lord my refuge. Lord, you are my habitation, the place I live. No evil shall just happen upon me. No plague shall come near me. Angels are watching over me and keeping me in all my ways. Angels protect me and keep me from stumbling. I have authority over the enemy. I tread on and trample anything that is not of God that tries to enter my life. I have set my love upon you, Lord. Lord, you deliver me. You set me securely on high above trials because I know your name. I call on the Lord and he answers me. God himself is with me in times of trouble. You deliver me and honor me. You satisfy me with long life. You show me your salvation.
I love that. Verse 27, God himself is with me in times of trouble. Think, wherever you're at, God is with you. Think of that. You're never alone. You're never by yourself. But God is with you. His angels have been assigned there. And there are ministering angels there to give you strength. The Holy Spirit is there to recall the Word of God back to you. And the Word of God is your sword. That is your weapon. Man, you have the victory. You already have it. And you are somebody. Some of you are still thinking that you're nobody. Get that out of your head. That's thinking. Amen? But you are a child of God, born again, bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, given the authority in the name of Yeshua, of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And we read, no matter 1,000 falls in front of you, 10,000 beside you, you just stand firm on the Word of God. You don't have to compromise. You don't have to say, well, man, I just can't do it. Because when you're standing there, when there's 1,000 dropped and 10,000, you're still not standing by yourself because God is with thee. And he's there to strengthen you, encourage you. Amen. Amen. Awesome times that we're entering into, we are into. I find it exciting every day when we hear the news, we see this come, this being brought to the light, more evil being exposed. And I like it when evil is exposed, that way people can see the truth. And I pray for those who are involved in the evil, their eyes be open to come to know Jesus. But I pray that their evil is neutralized against this country. But again, exciting times. I'm just excited about it. Amen. Anybody else? I mean, just to see the book, the prophecies coming forth. So if you see these things taking place, and we know the signs, he said, we have these killer hornets coming our way next, murder hornets, I guess they are. So you can believe in the rest of the book too. You know, that we are citizens of heaven. But we're blood bought. We're only here for a season. But while we're here, may we be warriors for the cross of Jesus and put him first in all that we do. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Vicki.
The last one you gave us in Acts
4.
Written in my Bible Pastor Peter gave us that verse back in October 15.
Oh, really? Same verse Pastor Peter shared with us. That's awesome. It's yes, when we read the scripture, what applied to them applies to us now. And again, humble heart, serving the Master, but serving it in a boldness. And don't let the world shake you. No matter what you hear tomorrow morning on the news, you don't take God by surprise. He's already got you strengthened. He's already with you. Say, well, thank you, Lord, for the warning. Let's have coffee, God. And let's go forth that way. Amen. Anybody got questions, comments? Anything? Again, I don't know where you're at, but if you prefer more of a 6-foot type setting, because again, you're about 4 foot right now, let me know and I can bring on a Saturday service and have it more of a social distancing. I don't know why. I can't come up with that. Amen? Amen. And as we close out, if you need a prayer of the day, you're welcome to come down on the altar and we'll pray with you. We do have lunch today. We have Bueller's ham salad today, some chips, and a cookie or two maybe. So, but may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you. May he turn his face toward you and grant you peace. And may you walk victorious and boldly and humbly under the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And may Psalms 91 rest upon you, your household, and upon your children's children. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.